We're going to eventually get to Psalm 130, but we have some other things to go over before that. And so we're looking this morning at the title, My Hope is in the Lord. Fill the house. Pray hard. Pray more. Get more. That's our theme. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We're going to have four very different points this morning. But before we do that, let us ask God's help and His direction this morning. Father, we thank You. We give You praise for helping us already this morning. We had a great first service. We thank You for that. And wow, we ask now that You'll do it again. Give us a great second service now, great message, and we're looking to You for that. I can't do it, but I'm trusting and depending in You, and so I ask You, Holy Spirit, to fill me right now for the message. You bring this the way You see fit, and we ask that You might give us hope, that You might encourage our hearts today. The church in America needs encouragement today. But we need revival today. We ask that You might bring that to us. We ask that You might guide us here and guide everywhere in a powerful way today where the gospel is preached, where the word of God is honored and it is believed, and the truths are given forth to the people. So we look to You right now. We're trusting and depending in You and not in ourselves. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In our first point this morning, we're going to look at scriptures of hope. You don't need to try and turn to all of these because I'm going to go rapidly from one to the next, several, like 15 verses or so. All verses about the subject of hope. We need hope today in our great God. Psalm 119, 114 says, Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in Thy word. Psalm 121, 7, The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 103, 11, For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Psalm 37, verses 18, 24, and 40. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Psalm 34, 17 through 19. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait, we'll be looking at that word today, wait, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Micah 7, 7. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for God, the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Psalm 62, 5 and 6. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Psalm 33, 20 to 22. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him. because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Psalm 143:8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Psalm 42:5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Psalm 31:24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And finally, 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Words of hope and confidence in our great God. A second point today, we're going to look at what are the great things that God has done for us during COVID as a church family. What has God done? We want to review what God has done since COVID hit. Now, in the first service, I have 8 things, and I asked the rest of them if they want to add some more, and they did, so I have a lot. I'm not going to do that in this service. You can tell me later, but we're going to review what has God done for Faith Chapel during this time of COVID. Number one, we've had to close the doors for a while at the beginning, but what did God do? He increased our outreach through technology. And our own people who don't go out at night have the opportunity to tune in to every Sunday night service by way of technology. No one in our church has to miss any services at all. They're there. They're available. It's a great thing. People are listening in from all over the world. Matt sent out the report from December on sermon audio. Yeah, we had like 15 countries where people were listening into Faith Chapel. We had about 25 states in the United States where people were listening in to our broadcast. The word is getting out like never before. Secondly, our doors were shut. We were like in what are we going to do now and all of this. And 1 week went by, and then everybody in the church sent their tithes and offerings in. We never missed a beat. The offerings did not go down. The offerings went up. And we've had about 2 or 3 really big offerings in that time. A record offering of $21,500 was our record since I'm here. Never had an offering like that before. All of this is going on during COVID. 3, now we have 100% of our congregation receiving the Wednesday prayer list. That's never happened before. We used to come Wednesday nights, we give our requests, we write them down, and we pray. Now everybody's getting it in the whole church. We can have 100% participation in prayer in this church. It is attainable, it is easy. We need 100% participation in prayer. It will do great and mighty things. Pray more, get more. That's how it works. 4. So far, we have had no COVID started here in any of our services. And that is one of our prayer requests towards the bottom of the sheet, as you know. That's what we're praying for, that does not happen. And 5, as a church, we have handled all the fuss and muss pretty well. We're wearing our government masks. Do they work? I don't know. I'm not convinced. But anyway, we're doing it. We're sanitizing. We're doing our best to distance and do all the things. And that's been going very well. Six. This is a good one. We have had within our congregation folks that minister Wednesday nights who have needed surgeries, have gotten sicknesses and problems. We would have had to cancel Wednesday night children's ministries. But you know what? We can blame it on COVID. Isn't that nice? We can blame it on COVID. You see, God works underneath of this mess that's going on. God works. And we are recipients of His grace and His power in doing things that we would have never thought of. Seven. I think that the Christ-like spirit in the congregation has only gone up during COVID. I mean, before COVID, it was great. But I think it's gotten even better. And we're more sensitive to the needs of people and each other. And people are reaching out. And it's been really good. Eight, because of COVID, family time has been increased at home. And so interactions have gotten better and family time has been really good. And we've been forced to stop the run. Was that your life before? That was my life before COVID. And that's sort of like calmed that down. And you know what's, I think what has happened for, I hope all of us, is we have found out in our lives that there were things going on that were not necessary and now they're gone. And we need to keep it that way. Let's keep it that way. They're gone. They're unnecessary. And then we added these. We have been comforted by God, and we're learning to live without fear. And that is a big thing. A lot of people are very fearful. And we need to not be that way, especially as believers. We have been able to continue having church. We're not missing a beat as far as availability to coming to services is concerned. At the funeral Wednesday, the leader of the home told me that most of the churches around here are still closed. I had no idea about that. I didn't know that. I mean, people need to get back to church. They got to stop that. They got to open the doors. They got to get the people back to church. Another person said, "We've gotten to know my neighbors better." Now that's good. That is really, really good. Another one said, "We're gaining strength through this adversity." That's what the Bible teaches, isn't it? We get strong in adversity, and now we're getting it. You know, it used to be just a Bible verse, and now we're living it. Okay, that's good. Strength. Another thing, we're experiencing the healing power of God. We have had some folks that have had the COVID out there, and praising God for His healing. And God is healing in many ways and answering a lot of those requests on our prayer sheets. We are having special times now in our homes with our devotions, our Bible meditation. One testified that now they're having this time together, and it's very easy to get their hour with God in. How about that? There you go. That's awesome. And then we had God's prompting to start the ladies' online Bible fellowship. And that has taken off, and God has been blessing that. And so, hey, God has done great things for us during COVID. Point number three is Psalm 130. That's where we're going this morning now. Psalm 130, waiting in hope. We are waiting in hope. That's what Psalm 130 is all about. I'll read the text and then we'll tear apart the psalm and get some good points from it. Psalm number 130. The psalmist says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." Big words in this psalm, waiting and hoping. "My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." He repeats it, "I say more than they that watch for the morning." Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Notice he said his iniquities. That jumped out at me this morning as I was going over that. It didn't say her, it said his. Israel's referred in both ways, but in this case, it's the male. Waiting in hope, Psalm 130. The psalmist is starting out low and he ends high. He starts out in the depths and he ends on a high note. He's in a low spot, but he's not going to stay there. The psalm is just keeps growing and growing and getting better and better as he goes along. He starts out in the depths of anguish. Isn't that where a lot of Christians in America are right now? They're in the depths of anguish about what's going on out there. And we have to be careful that that does not control us. Not at all. This psalmist is earnestly and constantly praying. And yes, that's what we've got to do as well. The psalmist climbs from a state of depression to the high ground of steadfast hope. And that's where we need to live. The psalmist is looking to get the ear of God. Listen to my voice. Why is he saying that? Because there's a sin problem. And to apply this to us and our nation, we are concerned about the sin problems of our nation right now. We have a very corrupt government and corrupt tech businesses. It's just corrupt all over the place. It's terrible. And so today God's people are anxious about the sin of our nation. We see that God's judgment is falling. How else can you view it at this point? Unless we get some kind of humongous divine intervention. And we're praying for that too. You know, as American Christians, we used to have it really easy and really good. That's the way it's been since the day I was born. Yeah, we didn't have a whole lot, so what? Things were good. We didn't have to deal with the level of stuff that we're dealing with today and our children are dealing with today. We have utter madness in our country right now. Good is called evil, and evil is reigning. Things are changing rapidly. Rapidly. I think faster than any of us could have dreamed. Along with that, Charles Spurgeon said this, "Nothing can happen but what God ordains, and therefore, why should we fear?" Did all of this catch God by surprise? Not a bit. He knew it was coming. We didn't know it was, but he did. We are praying for the people of the United States to get right with God, to get saved, to confess their sins. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14, three big words in that verse. We got to humble ourselves, we got to pray, and we got to seek the face of our God. Humility, pray, and seek. We must do that as believers. verse 4 tells us that forgiveness is available. I like that. What if God said, I'm not forgiving you? We're all going to hell. We're all going there. No, there is forgiveness with our God. It is available. And in verse number 5, we're introduced to this big word, wait. Wait. We don't like to wait, do we? Do you like to wait around? Life is full of waiting around. Now, I am getting better at that. Some days are wonderful. I can wait at that red light all day, doesn't matter. Other days, I'm not happy about it. It's just not that good. But we wait around. We want God to fix this now. I do. Well, here's the deal. We are to wait in hope. That is Psalm 130. We are to wait in hope. And we are not to wait in despair. We are to wait expectantly. We're expecting God to do great things. We are praying for Him. We are waiting for God to move. And He's going to. But He's not using my calendar and my clock in the way I'd like to see it happen. He's using His own. And so we have to rest in that. It is in His timing. So we pray, we hope, we wait expectantly, we trust in His Word. That's what we do. His Word is a sure thing. In verse number 6, we are introduced twice to the person looking for morning, looking for the sun to come up. People who work at night look forward to the morning. I don't know how many of you have ever worked the midnight shift. I used to do that in between ministries at Sherwin-Williams, and I didn't like it. I understand. I was looking for morning, looking for the sun to come up, wanting it badly. And so the psalmist is like the watchman, and he's got long stretches through the night, and he's just wanting morning to come. I just want to be done with this. I want morning to come. Well, God is going to come, and God is going to do something. And what we have to do is, well, there's a saying, wait for it. People say, wait for it. That's what we have to do. Our God is moving. He is doing. Just wait. Wait in hope. In verse number 7, the psalmist is encouraging his people Israel to put their hope in the Lord. He's doing it Himself, and he says, I want all of you to do that. And so we need to all take that admonition from the psalmist here in victory. We are waiting in hope. Everybody, let's wait in hope. The Lord is merciful. He's going to redeem us. This isn't all that there is. Now, we are really blessed, have been, you know. We have so much stuff, we have to kick it out of the way to get through our houses. God has given us so much. It's just incredible. This isn't all that there is. In verse number 8, with the Lord, there's going to be full redemption. All of our sins, they are gone. All of our sins are gone. Christ has redeemed us from all of our sins. And so the Christian message is a message of hope. It's not a message of despair. We are the people of hope. We have something to look forward to. There is hope for the hurting. There is hope for the helpless. There is hope for the sinner. There is hope for you. There's hope for me. There's hope for our country. That's where we have to live. Now, switching gears to the Christmas devotional that we had this year. And I'm doing it again. I think I said that before. And just in the last day or two, it was about Micah's hope for Israel. Micah's hope for Israel. Prophecy. Israel's king is going to be born in Bethlehem. Micah and all those people, they never got to see that. But they were waiting and they were hoping. 700 years later, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. We know the rapture is coming. It might be faster than we think. That would be so good. Get us out of here, Lord. Blow the trumpet. We're ready. Yeah. Yes, it is bad out there. We might get to go straight up. We might get to go straight up. You know, my dad was longing for that. He was praying for, he wanted to go in the rapture. It didn't happen. Now it's my turn. We want to go straight up. No grave digging involved. Even so, come Lord Jesus, come quickly, get us out of here. Now our biblical view of Jesus should lead us to a life of submission to Him. But not only that, it should lead us to patient perseverance and hope. We can have that. We can do that. Paul talks about persevering. If anybody understood that, it was him. God's help, we can do that. Patiently persevere, trust, hope, and depend on our great God. What's happening right now in our country should fuel our persevering hope in our great God and in His promises. Long for the return of Christ and do not lose heart. Fourth and finally this morning, pray more, get more. You may be wondering, where in the world did you get that? Well, that's my new motto. And here's where it came from. This past Wednesday, we had a funeral service for a teenage young lady who knew Christ as her Savior, who was a wonderful young lady, talented in every way. We had extra time to, in between her homegoing and the actual service, because of the holiday in there and other things that were going on, and so it got moved. So I have never ever prayed so hard for a funeral service in my life. And I got to pray longer, more days in prayer about that service. And I asked God, I said, and I asked Him many times, I said, will You save every unsaved soul that comes there? 30 plus people confessed Christ. He may have answered that. I don't know. I'll know when I get to heaven. There were 7 people here from Faith Chapel, and so that leaves 40-some guests, and at least 30 of them raised their head as a confession to me and before God that they prayed to ask Jesus Christ to save them. That's where I got it. Pray more, get more. I think it makes sense. It's not greedy. If you pray more, you're going to get more. God can't answer the prayer you haven't prayed. I think God's heart is encouraged if we keep pounding on the same thing. We pray for souls for years and years and years, 20, 30, and finally they come to know Christ as their Savior. So we need to pray hard for God to fill this house. Now let me ask you a question. Does COVID stop God? COVID does not stop our God. But we're tempted to think that because of that, and because of what happens, what we'd like to see God do can't happen. That's a wrong thought from the pit of hell. And so we got to cast those kind of thoughts out. And so we need to pray hard for God to fill the house and to use us in that process. And there is no reason why there can't be 100% of Faith Chapel people praying that prayer. And praying over the whole list. I mean, there is no reason why we cannot do that. I would love to stand before Jesus and hear him say, "You had 100% participation in prayer during COVID." Wouldn't that be awesome to hear that? That would be so great. We have our prayer list. We can use it every single day. We get with God, and we can easily spend an hour with God every day. I mean, most of our congregation's retired. You know, and I know that retired people fill their schedule with stuff, but get God in there first. Get him in there first. And then get to the other things that you like and want to do. But give him the choicest part of your life and time. Use that prayer list daily. Get in the Bible daily. Pray more. Get more. Put your hope in God. That's what we need to do. Let us pray. Father, we thank you today for helping us in this time. Thank you for these thoughts that you have prepared and directed. Thank you for each one who has come out to the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you for those that are listening by way of technology. Please build us in the faith. Make us strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Help us not to get down. Help us not to get discouraged. Help us not to have anguish about what's happening. Help us not to fear, but help us to trust. Help us to hope. Help us to wait upon you, our great God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.